One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Haunted Playboy Mansion. A conversation with Bridget Marquardt. It's a building that was more than a little rich with history. It saw wild parties packed with the rich, famous, and most powerful people in the world. And while life may have seemed like all fun and games from the outside, behind the gates of Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion, something else may have been going on. Something unseen by most of the guests, only noticed by those who lived there. Something supernatural? Today, we discuss the history and the ghost stories of the Playboy Mansion with someone who knows them better than most, Bridget Marquardt.
For me, I think that I was born kind of spooky and into that kind of stuff because I, for as long as I can remember, I have always loved spooky stuff, ghost stories, horror movies, even way, way, way before I was supposed to be watching them. But my first actual paranormal encounter happened when I was 12, at least the one that I'm sure of. I mean, I had some other spooky things happen when I was younger, and I've been wondering lately if maybe they were more than just my imagination, but my first real thing happened when I was 12 and I got my first Ouija board.
Wow. So what was your thought? I mean, you're 12, you get a Ouija board. Is this something that, you know, your family said, don't touch that? Or was there like any opinion on having a Ouija board? Or what was your thoughts at that moment?
Well, my parents are not into the paranormal or ghosts or anything like that at all. They're just not anything that's ever on their agenda or on their mind at all whatsoever. So, I think when I wanted to get a Ouija board, my mom was kind of like, I don't think she like loved the idea, but she didn't really care or have real strong opinions on it.
Okay.
And so I saved up my like babysitting money and things like that to like go get it. And so I don't think they really thought anything of it when I got it, other than that's kind of weird, you know, but like whatever.
So you could
get a different game. You could get Monopoly or Candyland or something.
You got a Ouija board. So you went out and got this game yourself. It wasn't given to you as like a gift or something from a strange aunt. You took the initiative. You went and you wanted to get the Ouija board.
Oh, I wanted it because I was into all that kind of stuff. Like I said, I probably saw it on a scary movie. I'm sure I did. And I wanted that. And I thought, how scary could it be? I mean, it's a game and they sell it at the kids' stores and the kids' section.
What could possibly go wrong? So you get the Ouija board that you've been saving up your babysitting money for, and what happens?
So I have my cousins come over, and they're a little bit younger than me. I was around 12, and they're probably 10 or 11. They're about a year and a half younger than me. And my little brother, and we all sit around and we're playing it. And it was specifically one other cousin and I that were doing it the most. And we didn't really know that many people that had passed away at that time. So the one person I did know who had passed away recently was my great grandfather. And so we were trying to reach out to him, and supposedly we were talking to him, but I would accuse her of moving the planchette, and she would accuse me of moving it. And eventually we just got bored and we just put it away. And, but then after that, I started having weird things happen, and, I just attribute it to the Ouija board.
What were some of the weird things that were happening?
So the first thing that happened is I came home from school one day. This was like, I played it on the weekend, and then this was like a Monday morning. And I came home from school, sat down at the coffee table, turned on the TV. I don't know if I was doing homework or just watching TV, who knows, but I hear the back door open. I came in through the back door and I hear it kind of fly open and hit against the house. And I thought, oh, that's weird. It must not have shut it tight. So I get up, go to the back door, shut it again, and don't think anything of it. Come back, sit back down. And a couple minutes later, I hear it fly open again and hit the house. And I was like, oh, that's weird, because I'm sure that I closed it tight this time. So I got up and I kind of looked around to see if somebody was messing with me or whatever, you know, went out on the porch, like looked around a little bit. Nobody's there. I thought, huh, maybe it's just like messed up the door or something. So I shut it tight this time. I check it, make sure it's definitely tight. Okay. Still not thinking anything of it. So I go back, sit back down again. And then, I hear it fly open again, and this time I'm scared now to go look, because somebody's definitely messing with me now. And so I get up and I'm all scared to walk to the back door, and sure enough, it's like wide open. I go out on the porch, I look around, nobody's out there, so I quick shut it really, really fast, and then I locked it this time. And then I walked out of the laundry room where that door is, and I see out of the corner of my eye down the hall my great-grandfather standing there.
Oh my God.
And then it started turning into like all kinds of things, like nightmares and feeling like being watched and seeing him in all kinds of weird locations and stuff like that, just kind of standing there watching me. But it wasn't like this feel good, oh, it's my grandpa, yeah, my guardian angel watching over me. It felt scary, and it didn't feel like him at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was like a trickster type of thing or what. But my family, it was really, really starting to like mess with me. So my family didn't really know what to do. Like I said, they weren't into the paranormal at all, didn't even know anything about it. And some of the family said, oh, she should talk to our pastor at our church. And some of the family was like, she should see a psychiatrist. Sure. And so we did both. We had the pastor come over to our house, and I told him what was going on. I got the feeling he didn't really believe me, but he did give me a good piece of advice. He told me that I should keep a diary of everything that was happening. So I did do that. And then my grandma took me all the way. We lived in Northern California, but closer to kind of Sacramento. And she would pick me up from school and drive me all the way out to Sausalito, which is the Bay Area, to a psychiatrist out there who specialized in this type of thing. And I talked to her for a long time, probably a year or something, like once a month or so. And she gave me one good piece of advice, I think, too. She told me to go to his graveside, and even if it isn't him, ask him if he can make it stop. And so I did that, too. And it did finally eventually go away or stop, you know, stop happening. But it took a long time.
Let's walk back for a minute here, because I want to hear you walk into the house after the door slamming back and forth. You're confused. You're scared. You see him then down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
What is going through your mind? What emotions are traveling through you as you see him there?
It's kind of like that feeling where your blood runs cold, but then when I turn to look straight on, there was nothing there anymore. Mm-hmm. But I still know what I saw there, and I definitely know it was him because I know what he looks like. I know, you know, the way he dressed, and I'm already kind of scared about the door opening and closing, and your mind is trying to figure out, is this all related? Is there somebody outside? Is it the ghost? Is it a ghost? Is it like what's happening right now? And it's just all hard to comprehend, but I was just overall scared, and I was home by myself, and we live out in the middle of nowhere to make things worse. Like, we lived way out in the country on 7.5 acres. Our nearest neighbor is probably 2 football fields away. Mm-hmm. Like, really, and you know, nobody's close. Nobody would hear me if I screamed.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was your relation? Did you have a relationship with your great grandfather? Did you know him when he was alive?
I did. And we had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And he was very sweet, and he was funny, and he spoke German, and he called me his little Futzela, which I later learned was a little fart. And I just remember he had a cookie bin in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I used to go over to his house and go right into that little cookie bin. They would keep it down low in a cupboard that was, you know, low so that I could get to it. And I remember he used to watch Carol Burnett. I remember sitting on his lap and watching Carol Burnett, and I didn't really understand Carol Burnett, but he was like laughing and thought it was so funny. And those are the memories I have with him. So they're all positive and all good.
So that must have been very confusing, because, you know, obviously people have a feeling to them when you run into somebody. It's especially someone you know and have, you know, continued relationships with. They have that presence about them. So when you had this experience and he's standing there, you're saying, from what I understand earlier, is that it wasn't that same feeling or presence that you knew and loved about him.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. It was a very, very scary. It was not him.
So when you look back on this, you know, kind of in retrospect, what's your opinion on this? Do you think it was the ghost of your grandfather that was actually haunting you? Or do you think it was something else kind of taking on that form to gain your trust, but you were empathic enough to kind of to pick up on the other elements other than just the visuals of him being there?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, they say that there can be tricksters. I think it was something else trying to be in the form of something that I knew to gain my trust or to do whatever. But and then whether or not it was caused by the Ouija board, I'm conflicted, because I just feel like now I'm taking classes in parapsychology and that kind of stuff, and I feel like the Ouija board is more the ideomotor skills and that kind of thing. Oh, my cat just freaked out. I think there's a ghost behind me.
It's
now
a green screen cat.
And so, but I feel like whether or not it was the actual Ouija board that brought this out, I think that it at least opened up my mind to being able to experience whatever it was that I experienced.
Sure. So, and you were, as we're kind of touching on this area, you had said that you are kind of looking back on some things even prior to the Ouija board that you kind of wonder about, you know, maybe this was. And we all kind of do that sometimes. It's funny how sometimes moments will hit us and we go, oh my God, I never even thought of it that way. What are some of those moments that you're kind of pondering on now all these years later?
There's a couple of them. The earliest one I remember is, so I was a latchkey kid from like starting at 4, really, really young. And I'm used to being independent and alone and don't really get scared being alone at all. But I just remember one time I was home alone and something terrified me. And I remember I was hiding behind the couch, and I remember thinking, it's ghosts, there's ghosts, there's ghosts and stuff. And I don't know, I don't remember seeing anything, and I don't even remember hearing anything, but I just remember hiding behind the couch and telling myself that there was ghosts in the room. And this is a room that I had been in, you know, my whole life practically. So, and never had any other feelings like that. So I don't know what happened that day. If my imagination was just playing tricks on me and getting the better of me that day, or if I was experiencing something on that day. And then another time, and this was not just one time, this happened multiple times, at my grandmother's house, which I'm very sure is haunted. We used to go into the upstairs bedroom, and this was before like any ghost hunting show or anything like that. So we didn't even know what we were doing. We were just doing this as kids inventing it ourselves, we thought. But we would sit there and we would be like, if there's somebody here with us, make the door open. And the door wasn't closed, to be fair, the door was not closed all the way. Mm-hmm. But then we would watch it and then it would like slowly start to open a little bit. And then we'd all get all scared. And this is myself and all my cousins, you know, and we get all scared and be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And we're like, okay, now can you make the door close? And then it would slowly kind of close a little bit. And we would like freak out. And there was a doll that would move around. And we think that one of my uncles was responsible for moving the doll around, like trying to prank us, but definitely not the door. There was nobody out there with the door, and it would respond on command to things that we asked. And my cousins and I still talk about it to this day, how weird that was, and was it paranormal?
That's an interesting thing, and it's a concept that I'm kind of trying to wrap my mind around too. I mean, you obviously do your show too, so you hear a lot of stories, just like me. And this concept that I'm hearing a lot of is sometimes not necessarily there's a ghost there, but sometimes just like the collective energy of those who are in the room, and almost like willing it to happen, or this idea of sometimes creating a ghost out of nothing, where it wasn't a person, it's not an evil thing, it's not a good thing, it's just this thing. I mean, it makes me wonder of things like that, especially in situations when we're kids and we do things like that. You know, was it a ghost, or was it really just somehow our energy, you know, that made those things happen? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, they say most poltergeist activity, so when things move around and that kind of stuff, is caused by a living agent, meaning a person that's alive, mm-hmm. not a ghost that's dead, isn't moving things across the room. It's usually the person. And so I definitely think that it's possible for three or four girls getting together and all their scared energy, like, willing that door to open and close.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.